Greetings, I'm Edward Juan Lynam, also known by my music artist name, Dr. JD, and welcome to my new video blog or vlog called How to Win a Murder Trial Against All Odds, Criminal Defense Trial Strategies and Techniques. If you haven't already, please check out the introductory episode to this video blog where you get to learn a lot more about me and my background of what qualifies me to present a blog like this one. This video blog just isn't for lawyers and law students. No, it's for the edification of all people who want to know more about our legal system, especially our criminal justice system, especially for those people who have those encounters with the law, better known as the police. Then you may want to stay tuned to this video blog. This first episode is titled From the LSAT to the Bar Exam, Resist the Push to Lower the Bar. The LSAT, or the Law School Admissions Test, is the test administered to every aspiring law student for consideration into an ABA accredited law school. The bar exam, of course, is the exam that graduates of ABA accredited law schools, and ABA standing for the American Bar Association, the exam that they must pass before they can practice within the jurisdiction of where they took that exam. They must pass the bar exam before they have a license to practice law within that state's jurisdiction. Several states now, because of COVID-19 and coronavirus, have joined the Wisconsin model and not requiring students of ABA accredited law schools within their state who graduate from a law school within their state to have to go on to take the bar exam. You're going to hear from me why it's my opinion that these students are people who travel from one state to go to another state like Wisconsin just to graduate from a law school where they don't have to take the bar exam are self-conscious as well as inadequate and likely aren't going to be real lawyers, the ones who we see in the courtroom, the ones that are depicted in television. Now, people who are born and raised in states like Wisconsin who decide to go on to law school in that state, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about aspiring law students and lawyers who travel to states like Wisconsin to attend law school just so they don't have to take the bar exam. Now, in my opinion, these are some of the most disreputable and suspect lawyers out there because they'll never meet the standard to be able to stand up to a lawyer like me in court. You see, the LSAT is where it all starts for aspiring law students. I go into detail about my own personal experience with the LSAT in my memoir called Lily's Dad. Check it out on Amazon Books. The LSAT tests four critical areas of abilities. The first is analytical logic games. The second is logical reasoning. The third is a writing sample. And the fourth is reading comprehension. There's also a variable section that includes all of those except the writing sample, and that's to help them develop newer questions for future LSAT exams. It's not scored, and getting any of those questions wrong are not held against you on the LSAT. The LSAT has been around since 1948, so it wasn't an exam designed, at least not for Florida, to preclude blacks from attending, because in 1948, at least here in Florida, blacks were not allowed to go to law school. However, I can understand how some may make that argument in other parts of our nation where blacks were allowed to go to law school. But here in Florida, it wasn't until 1962, 15 years later, when the first black person graduated from the University of Florida Law School. Now, standardized tests like the LSAT were developed to predict how a potential law student would do in law school. I have no shame in sharing why the LSAT isn't a good predictor of how a law student would do in law school, while still, however, arguing why the LSAT is absolutely necessary. You see, I scored the lowest possible score on the LSAT that fell in the lowest possible range of scores permissible for an ABA accredited law school to admit a student. I have no shame in sharing with you that my score on the LSAT was a 140. My LSAT score was the lowest in my class. My LSAT score was so low that the dean of the law school rescinded my offer letter saying that my score was too low after they had already admitted me into law school. But you can see by looking at me today how that went. You see, the LSAT can't measure the aptitude of someone who doesn't necessarily prepare to take the LSAT before going to take it and scoring low on it. It doesn't test one's aptitude to do well in law school. It's just a potential indicator of those who did study and work hard in preparation for the LSAT and how they did and how that may be a predictor of how they may do in law school. However, people like me who got into law school and didn't take LSAT preparation serious, didn't study, and likely didn't do too well, well, obviously the LSAT is not going to be a good predictor of how students like me would do in law school. Now, I say all of that to say, study hard for the LSAT, because in my opinion, it's the better indicator of how you would do as a lawyer, not necessarily as a law student in law school. And that's because, unlike the bar exam, the LSAT does make sure that your mind is capable of doing the analytical reasoning, the logical thinking that is required by a lawyer even after taking the bar exam. Unlike the bar exam, that only tests your mastery of broad legal concepts, that also incorporates within the fact patterns of the questions that you're asked, your ability to logically think as well as your analytical reasoning. That's because each question on the bar exam is designed to trick you into picking the wrong answer. Yeah, each question on the bar exam is designed to trick you into picking the wrong answer. That's where the reading comprehension comes in. That's why the reading comprehension is absolutely so important. That same section that exists as part of the LSAT exam. So in my opinion, the bar exam is more about reading comprehension, a lot more than it is about your ability to regurgitate and apply the broad legal concepts that you may have learned in law school across an array of topics and subject matters. So in my opinion, the bar exam is more about reading comprehension and your ability to navigate through the tricks, how they're trying to toss you up, utilizing your analytical thinking, those logic skills, to navigate to the best of the worst answers to get the question correct. Although the bar exam is divided into two different days or sections, one for state as well as federal, it's all the same except for the writing part. And as we know, writing is another section of the LSAT. You have to be a good writer. Now, I will say that your mastery of legal concepts and what you learned in law school is probably most applicable within this section of the bar exam, and that is the writing section, which is, I believe, about 25% of the total exam. So maybe you're asking, why is he emphasizing all this testing stuff? And that's because 99.9% of law students and those who go on to practice law, it starts with the LSAT and it ends with passing the bar exam. So that's why I'm emphasizing this in this video, because this is where it all starts. So I agree with those lawyers and law professors who advocate for maintaining the bar exam because it does in fact weed out any potential lawyers who will be unfit for practice of law. And that's because they don't have the aptitude, they don't have the logical reasoning, the analytical skills, they're not writing well enough to be able to service a potential litigant at the high level that is required within the practice of law. You see, in this video blog, I'm going to show you how me, a black man in a 90% white world, was able to crush all the competition. And that's because I excelled at logical thinking, analytical reasoning. I became very good at research and writing. And kind of like those Toastmasters people, I practiced my presentation skills. And all that is important because as a top-notch practicing attorney, you're going to have to consume information that's lengthy and very technical. You're going to have to regurgitate it on the fly. And if you're like me against an unscrupulous prosecutor, they're not going to be truthful. And you're going to have to be able to call them out on what they're saying that isn't factual right there on the spot. And you're surely not going to be able to do it on the fly unless you have mastered all of those skills. Because folks, in my career, I've had to deal with a lot of unethical prosecutors. Prosecutors who will lie in a heartbeat and present a bunch of crap to the judge just so they can win and look like they know something. And that's why it's going to be up to you to have mastered all those skills, the reading comprehension, the writing, the research, the analytical thinking, so that you can snatch it right out of the air they throw it in and smack them right back in their face with that crap that they throw out there and sit them down and shut them up. And you're only going to be able to do that if you have mastered all the skills and techniques that are required of you to be a top lawyer. And you're not going to become a top lawyer unless you continue to read and study just as hard after passing the bar exam as you did while you were in law school and studying to pass the bar exam, because it's a lot tougher. There's a lot more information out there that you're going to have to master within your field of practice. And if you don't continue studying and learning the case law and knowing the law, you're not going to be able to regurgitate it on the fly. So I emphasize reading comprehension because in this day of social media, too many lawyers are resorting to public relations and being entertained than they are going to study the law and become a better lawyer. As I said in the introductory episode, you actually have lawyers going out purchasing for $300 a trophy or certificate that they can hang in their wall of their office that says they're one of the top 100 lawyers in their field. A trophy or certificate that they paid for, that they didn't earn. That's what's going on in today's world. And that's why I'm emphasizing why you, after taking the bar exam, must continue to study harder, learn more than you ever would have within law school or preparing for the bar exam. You see, because all this social media stuff, it's become easy for a lawyer to just focus on public relations, pretending like they're something that they're not, when they're nothing but egotistical and incompetent. It's why you see lawyers on social media talking about everything that you want to hear versus what you need to hear. They don't talk about anything that makes them a competent lawyer, especially the legal issues and civil rights issues of the day. They don't even talk about it as though they are a legal mind. They talk about it just as you who didn't go to law school would talk about it. And if you're me, I know that's not the kind of lawyer I would want representing me. Someone who just talks a little better than me. I want someone who talks like a lawyer, who is talking over my head, who talks like they're going to know what they're talking about when they go into a courtroom arguing my case for me. So again, this era of social media that we're in has made too many lawyers egotistical and pretentious. It's part of the reason why I'm recording this video blog. To emphasize the same point, take note. When it's time to go hire a criminal defense lawyer, ask them have they ever picked a jury, and tell them to give you the case number if they did. Ask that lawyer had they ever filed a motion to dismiss and prevailed on it. Ask that lawyer if they've ever filed a motion to suppress, dealing with constitutional issues of when the police officer unlawfully pulls you over and violates your constitutional rights. Ask the lawyer who holds themselves out as an experienced criminal defense lawyer, when have they ever done this? And when have they ever won? When were they ever successful at doing these just fundamental basic things that are expected from experienced criminal defense lawyers, especially the ones who will go and buy an award for $300 saying they're one of the top 100 lawyers in their field? I focus on the LSAT and bar exam in this video to once again emphasize how important it is to read, 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 write, 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 research, 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 study, 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 and to never stop. Because if you don't, you're going to come across a lawyer like me who does, and who's going to kick your butt every single time. And when I do that, you're not going to like me, simply because I showed out in a courtroom full of people showing how I was better than you, and how you just looked absolutely inferior. Because after passing the bar exam and getting your license, you stopped reading, researching, and studying to become a master in your craft, the kind of master that's required to stand up to the prosecution or to go toe-to-toe with lawyers like me, who are proven by the fact that I'm in the small, very small club of lawyers who've won a murder trial. So in closing, I want to make my position clear that I do not support this push that we're seeing throughout the nation to get rid of the bar exam for this diploma privilege we see going on in all these other states like Oregon, New Hampshire, Washington, to model what's been happening for a while in Wisconsin. I'm totally against it, because all we will be doing is producing another class of lawyers who are below the bar and won't be able to stand up to lawyers like me who are proven to be above the bar, who set the bar higher and higher every time. Let's not make excuses to be lazy, to not go harder and harder, to learn more and more, to be better and better by advocating to become one of these diploma privileged states. Florida is the third largest state in the union, and I would argue that it's probably number one with the number of unscrupulous prosecutors serving in our state attorney's offices throughout the state. We don't need to be ushering in another class of lawyers who have no bar to get over because there's no more bar exam, diploma privilege. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with you, your aptitude, and your dedication to studying, reading, writing, researching, and simply never stop excelling to be the best that you can be and mastering the information to be a top lawyer like me, capable of winning a murder trial against all odds. This is Dr. JD with episode 1 of the video blog, How to Win a Murder Trial Against All Odds, Criminal Defense Strategies and Techniques. Stay tuned for episode 2. Thank you for watching. Goodbye.